precious blood that flowed from Calvary can make the sinner holy. Come wash me clean till every part of me is yours, Lord, and yours only. It's been so long since I felt Jesus. Just once again, I long to feel His presence. A glimpse of Calvary, remembering nights down on my knees in prayer. I said, Lord, here I am, please use me. A fool was I to ever leave you. Please take me now. Oh God, I know I need.
Church, and are you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So good to be here in the house of the Lord, and this cool, chilly morning we have. Of course, I'm loving it myself, but anyway, so good to be here. And as some of you may be able to tell, I hope all of you can, but we've had some landscaping demolition done around here. And all that's done, and so they've got the windows and all on the outside taped up and ready to go. And so just remember that for this coming up week, the continuation as we repaint the church. So looking forward to that. Let me jump right into some announcements, some prayer requests. I've been a really busy past couple weeks, and so we just want to bring to light some things here this morning. Miss Connie Teague, she had to have, I guess we could call it emergency surgery. She took a fall the other day, and she broke her arm clean in half. And then she also had a hairline fracture on her shoulder, along with a broken index finger. And so, from what I hear, she was just making her way into the house where Christy's little art studio, I guess she has a little area for painting, and her shoe got caught on the steps, and so that's what happened. We spoke with them, and I believe she's in recovery, trying to get better from that surgery. But do remember Miss Connie. She's had a rough go. Had the gallbladder surgery, and then had the hernia surgery, and then had this mishap. So remember her. And the recovery process sounds really painful too. They had to leave some hardware in her finger, which will be removed later on. And so just remember that in your prayers. This past week, Brother Ken Bryant went home to be with the Lord, and his service was on Thursday, and it was a lovely service. Brother Snyder, preached that service, did a great job there. And so let's remember his family, Brother Ken Bryant. Let's see, Ed and Marianne Sanvey. Miss Cassie, did you say that Ed's back in the hospital? So he's in the hospital? Okay. Thank you for that. Let's remember them. Remember our children's home. Max, as he's recovering, went for his appointment on the 24th. And I hear things are a little bit better. And so we praise the Lord for a good report for Max. Miss Helen Bennett, she has an appointment on April the 4th, to talk about surgery. Remember her. Let's continue to remember Miss Nancy, Brother Bobby, and daughter Kelly, and Kelly's son Tanner. Remember them in our prayers. CC and Chuck Prestridge, Miss CC's mom that has breast cancer. Let's remember her. And then Brother Charlie Wilson. I got a call yesterday from Brother Don, and Brother Charlie is, I believe, he's not able to eat. He's getting close to passing, being on the Lord. And so remember his wife, Brenda, and family in your prayers. A lot of other prayer requests, but that was some of them I highlighted this morning that we've been keeping in connection with. So remember these in your prayer. Pick up a bulletin out in the foyer or down front to your left, where you can keep up to date with everything that we're doing and all the people on our prayer list. Tonight at 5 o'clock will be our Sunday night fellowship. Speaking of Miss Cassie, Miss Cassie has graduated. Is it nursing school? I know it's some branch. Certified nursing assistant. I believe she told me that, you know, due to COVID and all, the school failed to give a graduation and didn't replan it, rebook it. Regardless if they did or not, we wanted to honor Miss Cassie. So tonight at the fellowship, we'll have our food like we regularly do, but our focus for a little while will be on Miss Cassie. That's a big deal. Miss Cassie took care of her mother until she went home to be with the Lord, and then she adjusted to things. God gave her special grace, and she went on and got her degree. That's outstanding, Miss Cassie. Let's give a round of applause for her. I tell you, during Jubilee, she sprang into action with her special skills. Her and Brother Chuck, and we had a person. Looks like they were, you know, getting ready to, have a seizure or something. Of course, we're not making a lot of that. And Miss Cassie jumped in there, and some others behind her. So we're proud of the action team we have, our security team, whatever action team, help team. So we're going to be celebrating Miss Cassie tonight along with our devotion, our message. So, all right. Well, all in favor that we worship, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. I'll turn it back to Brother Allen. I know God has something to say this morning. He has lit my fire. And most likely it's going to be a part two, which we'll finish tonight. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for who you are. And God, in the things that you do, Lord, we don't always understand. But help us, God, to focus on you having a plan that goes beyond our plan. Lord, help us to know that if we're born again, no matter if we're going through a stressful time, a peaceful time, or actually a time where we're confused, that if we belong to you, God, you're using and you're stringing all things together, Lord, to create one main event, one thing, Lord, for us to become more like you and to take us home one day. Father, today we lift up all these requests. God, I pray that you would be with those who are in dire need of you physically, those, Lord, mentally, God, who are fading, God, those who are mentally bewildered this morning. I pray that you'll give special grace, give just a special touch, Father, is my prayer. And God, when it comes time to the preaching, Lord, I pray that you'll use me to be a blessing to your people. I pray if there's a soul here that does not know you personally, today will be the day of salvation for them. And Lord, if there's someone following from afar, let today be the day they come back to the cross. Everything that you decide to do and want to do, we just submit to your authority. Use this for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Church, stand with me. Choir, stand with me this morning. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Say amen right there.
Amen.
Amen. That sounds great. I'm glad I'm washed. The choir sang a few moments ago, but Brother Harold, I'm glad that I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. Without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission for my sin. And I am so thankful that Christ was willing to go to a place called Calvary and die in my place, where I belonged. He was willing to take my place at Calvary. And I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for the blood this morning. Very soon we'll be celebrating the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday morning. And I would invite you to please be here for that day. It's going to be a great day. We're very excited about it. But I am thankful this morning for the blood. I'm thankful this morning for Jesus. That'd be a place where we ought to all run right there. I'm thankful for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And it's because of him that he is the one that makes the difference. Chuck, he's the one that's made the difference in my life. And there's something about just his name that causes me to want to stop. It causes me to want to worship. And I wonder this morning, could we sing that chorus that says, there's something about that name. Seated as well. Choir practice this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Please don't miss that choir. We're working on some things for Easter, and if you would just pray for us. God, give us some direction. We're very excited to be able to celebrate on that Easter Sunday morning. It's good to see you here. If you're visiting with us, you are a special guest. We thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. We know we have some visiting, and I don't know if we have anybody for the very first time. If so, then you're truly our special guest. We thank you for being here this morning. And some of you that have been visiting, we just go ahead and claim you as home folks anyway. But it's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord today. What a beautiful day that it's been. I was thinking this morning, I was talking about painting the church this week. I hope the Lord will allow that wind to settle a little bit, or we're going to be painting McDonald's when they start spraying this thing. I hope they're thankful for it when they get to paint over there. But it's been a great week, and the Lord has given us a great week. But it's great to be in His house this morning. Please remember all the prayer requests that have been given, and I know that there are many, many more. We could all bring forth prayer requests this morning. But aren't you glad that the Lord knows all about them? And He's able to work in every situation. And that's what we're going to ask Him for this morning as we go to Him again in a word of prayer. Father, we love You. And how we praise You, Lord. Our hearts this morning are just full of praise because You are so worthy to be praised. Lord, if we were to stop and just think about all of the things that You have done for us, Lord, and through us and in us, Lord, we would be praising You all the day long, as the song says. But Lord, truly this morning, we're so thankful to be in Your house. And Lord, You've heard all of these prayer requests, those mentioned and those unmentioned. Lord, some things are just on our hearts that we couldn't even begin to tell. But God, You know about each situation. Lord, pray that You'd be with each one. Lord, I'm thankful this morning that You're the great healer. Lord, I would ask, Lord, that Your healing hand would be upon Miss Connie, Lord. She's taken a terrible fall, and Lord, she just stands in need of healing. And Lord, many others, Lord, we are thankful for the praise that we heard this morning of the young lady this morning, Lord, in choir practice, that, Lord, that was a, Lord, You allowed her eyes to be opened this week, and Lord, she's starting to regain a little bit of consciousness. And Lord, I pray that You would be with her and the family. Lord, again, I just pray that You be with our pastor this morning. I know that You have a message for us. May our hearts and minds be open to receive it. Now, Lord, I pray that You would be with the choir, accept our worship, our praise. But now, Lord, touch the offering, both the gift and the giver. You know everything that is needed. Lord, our special prayer request this morning would be if there's someone here that's never accepted You as their personal Savior. May this be the day they come to realize that and come to know You as the Lord of their life. Lord, we'll praise You and we'll thank You for all that's accomplished. Give us a great day in Your house. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valley, till I felt His loving arms embracing me. Why would I ever doubt a God whose hands hold the universe? Why would I church.
just sing, brother. So I'll sing privately. How about that? But anyway, I want to wish Miss Glenda a very, very happy birthday. And so we appreciate Miss Glenda, Brother David, and all the things that they do. And appreciate them. What a blessing they are. One more prayer request I'll leave with you. Brother Dion, Miss Elna told on you this morning, brother. Now she requested prayer for that elbow surgery coming up, and so we're praying for you on that elbow surgery. I know you got to get back to tennis, I know. Anyway, what a blessing it is to be able to have a church family to call on for prayer. And so, anyway, is everybody warm in here? Doing good? All right. So I know I'll probably have a monsoon this morning, so y'all don't pay attention to me. Romans chapter number 5. Romans 5. I want to read one verse. That is verse number 19. This is going to be my text verse. The launching pad for the message. And this is going to be a part one, part two. And so I know we have our fellowship tonight, but we're going to continue this tonight downstairs. So we're looking forward to that. Romans chapter number 5. I do want to bow for a quick word of prayer, and then I want to read one verse, verse number 19. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you today for all things. I pray, oh Lord, that you would bind off the enemy from my mind. God, I pray that you would keep my eyes fixed and focused upon you. Father, I pray for a clear head and a calm heart. Someone needs to hear, Lord, what you have to say today. There are those watching even on Facebook that need to be rescued by the gospel. And so, Father, I preach today like it's my very last time. Lord, we love you. We're so thankful for how faithful you are, even when we are not faithful to you. Bless the reading of your word, the preaching of your word. And we pray that you'll be glorified today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And amen. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. I'll read that one more time. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Excuse me. Romans chapter number 5, chapter number 6, 7, and 8 are definitely great, great chapters, as every chapter in the book of Romans. But the book of Romans chapter number 5, it deals with being justified by the blood of Christ. Chapter number 6 deals with walking in newness of life. And then chapter number 7 deals with basically being more than a conqueror, talking about what we have in Jesus and what we can do through His strength. And chapter number, chapter number 7 deals with, I'm sorry, let me back up. Chapter number 5 deals with being justified by the blood of Christ. Chapter number 6, the newness of life. Chapter number 7 deals with the struggle against sin. Chapter number 8 deals with the Spirit-filled life. Got to get myself in line here. And great chapters, great verses. But
This morning, I want to look into chapter number 5 and verse number 19. Again, that's going to be our text verse. And I want you to notice two things out of verse number 19. Number one, there are some differences in this verse. One deals with sin. That's Adam. He says, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." But then the other deals with salvation. The Bible says, "So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." And so there's some differences in this verse this morning. One deals with sin, the other deals with salvation. But also there's some likenesses in this verse. Because both deal with something that starts little, but then grows into something big. He says, "For as by one man's disobedience," started with Adam and Eve, "many were made sinners." Because of that first act of sin, we all are sinners. Started out little and grew into something very, very big. And then notice the other part of that verse. "So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Jesus came into this world as a little bitty baby. And then he grew up and revealed his ministry at the age of 30, went to the cross, bled and died for us. Something very, very big grew from him being so little and still impacting lives today. This morning, I want to take this idea of the likenesses from this verse, how that both deal with something little, yet growing into something big. And I want to preach for a few moments on this subject. Little things that can become big things. Little things that can become big things. I want to do my best this morning to fulfill 2 Timothy 4:2, which gives us the ingredients of preaching. That is to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Reprove means conviction. Rebuke means correction. Exhort means encouragement. And only by the help of the Lord and His Holy Spirit can we accomplish these three things this morning and tonight. And so, little things that become big things. Let me just say this. We have reflections of Adam that can certainly bring conviction and correction because we come from him. As we think about the life of Adam and how he partook originally, he and Eve, Eve and he, and because of that original sin, we all are sinners. We can reflect definitely upon the life of Adam and say that little things can become big things. We also have reflections upon Jesus in this verse because Jesus can certainly bring encouragement to our life, certainly because we are his offspring spiritually. We can look into the life of Jesus and see how he came into this world as a babe and again died upon the cross to purchase our salvation. And we can spiritually take a look at that and say little things can become big things in a very good way. This morning I want to mention at least one of these three things. And one of these three things that pertain unto the subject, and that is little things that become big things. The first thing I want to mention is the examples that involve sin. Examples that involve sin. Before I mention Adam and Eve and some things about them, I want to give you an illustration. Just a little story. There was a story one time of a mom who took her daughter to the pet store because she always wanted a little lizard. And so she finally took the 5-year-old to the pet store, and she seen a lizard that she wanted and said, Mommy, mommy, I want this lizard. Look, look, the name of it is Allie. Okay, honey, we'll get Allie. We'll take Allie home. That'll be your pet. So she was excited and brought little Allie home and began to feed Allie. And days passed by, weeks passed by, and she noticed that Allie was getting really big. And kept on feeding Allie. And we came home from school one day, and her tail was hanging out of the tank. And her head was above the tank, and her body was raised on the inside. Said, Mommy, Mommy, what's going on with Allie? I don't know, honey. I guess you just got a fast-growing Allie, a fast-growing lizard. Well, about 6 months later, they came home from school and work, and Mother opened up the bathroom door and pulled back the curtain, and there was a full-blown alligator in the bathtub. You see, what the mother failed to do was look on the other end of that tank in that pet shop that said gator. Alligator. She thought she had found her a little lizard whose name was Allie. I said that to say this morning, that when it comes to the subject of sin, little things can become very big. Turn to Genesis, if you would, for a few moments. Genesis chapter number 2. And our first example again is Adam. And I want you to notice in Genesis chapter number 2 that one of the things that Adam and Eve, I believe, struggled with was the fact that they grew used to the things of God. Or they got to a place where they were discontent with the blessings of God. Notice, if you would, in chapter number 2, in verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Man, that sounds like a lot of trees. Sounds like a big blessing, a lot of blessings. But, verse number 17, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we know that they did that. They partook of that one thing God said, don't take from. And as I was studying and meditating over this on Friday and Saturday and then early this morning, I got to thinking, well, why in the world didn't they just stick with all the trees and leave that one alone? And then it hit me and I began to think about that probably, maybe, thinking about our lives and even my life at times, if I'm not careful, maybe they grew discontent with the things of God, the blessings of God. They had all those trees to eat from. I mean, free for the taking. But they wanted that one that was right in the middle. And so they went for it. And they died a very spiritual death, the Bible says. This morning, let us all be careful with growing discontent with the blessings of God. Let us always be thankful and grateful for our homes. Let us always be thankful and grateful for our marriages, our kids, the job that God has given you, the responsibilities you have in life. Sometimes life seems really redundant and routine. Sometimes the old tempter will even get upon your shoulder and tempt you to go after that one thing you don't have that you think you need. And that's when the devil will move in and try to get a foothold in your life. And when he does that, and if he can accomplish that, then you will also be one of these who have began something when it was small that could grow into something big. This morning we have the example of sin, and we're looking at Adam and Eve, and we see first of all that they grew discontent with the blessings of God. Had all of these blessings to partake of, all of these trees, but they went after the one that they didn't have. Number two, I want you to look in chapter 3 here, Genesis, that pride was a problem with them. Pride was a problem. verse number 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. We see that pride was a problem for Adam and Eve. The devil, in so many words, had told them that God's holding out on you. You don't have everything you need in that forest. You need that one thing, that one singular tree that's in the middle of it. In fact, God's holding out on you because if you eat of it, you'll become just like him. So they went for it. They went for the lunge. And they partook of that fruit. And because of that, they suffered a spiritual death. There's one thing we can glean from these verses. Not only pride, but we can also see that sometimes the devil, he likes to put a question mark where God puts a period. And he said, hath God said? Hath God said? And he goes down through there and he tries to get Eve to move forward with her decision to take from the tree. The previous verses that we read in chapter number 2, look, if you would, chapter number 2, in verse number 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, period. And then in chapter 3, verse number 1, look at that last statement. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Question mark. The devil this morning is in the business of putting question marks where God has put a period. He has given us many, many blessings in life. Number one, positionally, we are his children, those of us that are saved. We belong to him. But then the very basic blessings of life, families and friends and, again, a church home and your own personal homes and transportation and money in the bank to pay your bills with. What a blessing that is this morning. But you see, if we're not careful, we will grow discontent with those blessings over time. There's a way that through routine and things being redundant, if we don't have a strong, close relationship with Jesus, the devil has a way where he will try to allow us to think of things, hath God said, hath God said? He will try to put a question mark where God puts a period. This morning it is sad to say and sad to report that Christians are falling off by the wayside. It's very sad this morning to report and to say that there are spiritual catastrophes that are happening day in and day out. The devil is on the rampage this morning. And listen, this isn't just another sermon about the devil and about us having a choice in the matter of life. But the devil truly is. He's on the path to try to destroy as many believers as he can. He can't take our souls to hell, but he can bring reproach upon the name of the Lord through a blown testimony. I wouldn't dare mention any names this morning. But I will have to say, two pastors in our community fell this past week. Two pastors. And I'm not talking about people who just got in the ministry. I'm talking about pastors who've been there for 30 and 40 years serving God. Have failed. And have blew everything they built up by the Lord Jesus in their years of ministry. You say, Brother Justin, what is that? How did they fall? Well, I was talking with someone this past week, and we were talking about being in the ministry and all, and I agreed with him. He says, Brother Justin, we can't be an island to ourselves. I said, amen, we can't, brother, we can't. Because what happens is when you are taking on all of those responsibilities in ministry, and you are an island to yourself. You're just pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. Don't you think for one minute, and listen, I know I'm not, that this could happen to me as well. That's why I stay guarded. But what happens, it builds and it builds and it builds, and even just in the individual singular Christian life, you can have so much going on that you kind of retreat to yourself and you're an island to yourself. And at the right moment, at the right time, the devil will say, "Hath God said you may not have a little fun? Hath God said you may not drink a little wine, a little beer? Hath God said you may not take a little smoke? Hath God said..." Oh, listen. Hey, Brother Justin, come on now. It's just one drink. You could take a drink of that. It'll ease all of your anxiety. It'll ease all of your pain. And then the devil comes over here and messes with someone else, just an individual Christian. Oh, hey, come on now. You work a regular job. You pay all your bills. You're stressed out. And guess what? By the way, it's Friday. Take a little puff of the magic dragon. Take a little drink of what's in the cupboard. Go ahead, just a little. You know, I believe the Bible talks about having boundaries and talks about having safe places. If I live my life on the edge every day, all it takes is one mistake and I've blown everything. But if I live my life way back here, and if I fall, I have room to get up. I have plenty of grounds to get up. But if I live my life right here on the brink of a nervous breakdown each and every day, I'm out here in the world and I'm playing with sin and things like that, I'm just one mistake away from blowing everything. This morning, I really think that a lot of us are living our lives on the edge. Whether you have grown discontent with the things of God, or you have just totally backslid and you're out in the world, or you're a Christian who's filled with anxiety and sorrow and you're living on the edge, beware. Because I guarantee you this morning, those two pastors that have woke up and they have blown everything in their ministry are grieved in their heart that they didn't step back a little ways. Grieved in their heart that they didn't connect with others. Grieved in their heart that they stayed an island to themselves, just trying to do the right thing and trying to minister and pouring out. Listen, we need to connect this morning. We need to connect with one another, starting from me down to you into every seat this morning. Don't be an island to yourself. If you're grappling with sin, and if you are a believer, come back to the cross. If you're totally backslid, come back to the cross. If you're sad, if you're discouraged, if you're depressed, if you're filled with anxiety, reach out to someone in the church that you love, that loves you. Ask for help. Go to the doctor. Please reach out for help. There are so many suicides. Suicide is just in the regular language nowadays. The other day Christy was working at the table. Thursday and Friday she's at home now. She was for 2 years working from home. Now it's Monday through Wednesday. She's going in Thursday and Friday. She's at the table working. And I was sending some text out, and through just one commercial break, we heard the word suicide so many times. I think it was about 5 times. It was suicide, suicide, suicide. And then there was actually a lawyer on TV with the news around that time that said, "Yeah, we're trying to expand insurance for those who have served in the services 30 days after they retire, that if there's a suicide, their families are totally taken care of." Why is there so much suicide talk? Why is there so many Christians falling to the side? Why is there so many things falling apart? I'll tell you why. Number one, we're getting close to the return of the Lord, as Brother Harold told me this morning. But number two, again, Satan is on the rampage. Listen, he is trying to tear testimonies apart, and you are not exempt. If men of God have been walking with God 30 and 40 years and they fell, don't think that you got it. You may just have a tiger by the tail. You may not have a lizard in your tank. It may be an alligator, and you may think you have it. But then one day that thing is going to gobble you up and you cannot escape because you're in the bondage of sin. Come to the cross this morning. Said all that to say this, that little things can become big things. So how's your Christian walk? How are things between you and the Lord this morning? And listen, I'm not naive. I know everybody in this room is smiling at me, at least they were this morning, before church service, during announcements. But I know there's real problems in this room. And those watching on Facebook that watch from time to time, I know personally some things that are going on in their life as well. You say, what are you doing then this morning, Brother Justin? Are you taking pulpit advantage? No. I'm trying to throw hope out there to you and hope someone grabs a hold of it. Little things can become big things when sin's involved. Let's mention another one. Not only Adam and Eve, but what about David and Bathsheba? What about David and Bathsheba? Turn over, if you would, to 2 Samuel 11. 2 Samuel 11. Now, don't get upset. Tonight is going to be the good part message. David and Bathsheba. This is an example of how little things can become big things. David, a man after God's own heart, who at one time in his life defeated a giant, only to fall to one later in life. In 2 Samuel 11, 1 tells us that there was a battle going on, but David wasn't in it. Look what it says, 2 Samuel 11, 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. They destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. Well, that's good. But David tarried still in Jerusalem. Now David sent Joab. He was a king. He could do that. He had that power to do that. But you see, it wasn't Joab's spot to be in that battle like it was David's. Now we know that Joab, of course, would have went along with and whatnot, but it was David's place to be in battle. David was supposed to be in that battle. And he sent Joab, and he tarried still at Jerusalem. Let me say this. Beware of hours of ease. Beware of hours of ease. I don't believe that David was pre-planning to take this woman Bathsheba. I kind of feel like that he was taking an hour of ease. He sent Joab. Joab was working for him, a servant, part of the military. He sent Joab. Okay, fine. Take your rest, David, and then get back to battle. But you see, David had an hour of ease. David should have been occupied with battle. Instead, he was being drawn by lust. It's in those hours of ease when the devil comes to us and tries to draw us. If David was in battle, he would have no time to be drawn from the evil inclinations that are on the inside. David belonged on that battlefield, not in his room. It was not the will of God for David to stay home from that battle. I'll say it again. It was not the will of God for David to stay home from that battle because David fell. He should have been in battle. So he stayed home. He woke up from his nap. went out on the balcony and stretched, and oh, wow. Started to just look at the stars. And he was getting ready to walk back inside, and something caught his eye. The Bible talks about that he looked. And then he lusted. And then he sinned. He called for Bathsheba. She came. He laid with Bathsheba. And then the events that took place after this will forever linger on the testimony of David. David was trying to learn how to get out of this jam he was in. Uriah was coming home, and so he wanted Uriah to stay with his wife, and then that would explain the pregnancy. Make a long story short, Uriah wanted to be in battle. Uriah knew where his place was, and it was to be in battle, and so he wanted to go to battle. And so David had to get crafty. Let me say this, church. When you're involved with sin, it's taking you further than you're willing to go. It's costing you more than you're willing to pay. Your flesh will try to get crafty to get out of it. I'll tell you what, it grows. It gets bigger. And the Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. And it also says that if you try to hide your sin, it will find you out. I want you to look in verse number 14. David said, aha, I got it. I know what I'll do. I will write a letter and send it with Uriah. I wrote a letter to Joab, sent it to Uriah. Look at verse number 14. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle. And retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die. What has me this today, what's had me yesterday, is not so much the death of Uriah, but how far David was going. You see, David, it started with just a little stay home, and now he's got Uriah, the very husband of Bathsheba, murdered. I was thinking about this. All right, here goes. The Bible says in verse number 14, it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hands of Uriah. He had the note. Uriah had the letter right here. Yes, David. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll go. I'll give it to Joab. Yeah. So he's going to battle. If he would have only opened the note. If he would have only opened the note. If he was only inquisitive. That would have been one time it would have paid off. Being inquisitive, what was going on in the note. He had that note, and he was going to battle, and he was going to give it to Joab, and Joab was going to set him in the hottest of battle, and he did, and he died. Joab would have only opened the note. Oh, man. Okay. Let me say this morning. There may be some so involved with sin, wrapped up in bondage to sin, all of those things to sin. You've got the Bible with you, but you won't open it. Just open the Bible this morning. You're in bondage and you're enslaved to sin, even as a believer, and you have the precious Word of God. And listen, only if you open the Bible you can live. Open the note. Jesus said there's a consequence to sin. And listen, if you are a child of God and you are living in habitual, continual sin, God will either do one or two things. He will scold you like a father that loves his children, or he'll call you home to an early grave. Somebody this morning needs to get right with God. Amen, preacher. Somebody this morning needs to open the book. Somebody this morning needs to fall on their face and say, God, forgive me. I've sinned against you. Don't you dare tell me you've got it. Don't you dare tell me it's just a little drink, a little draw. from whatever, because if two seasoned pastors been serving God their whole lives fail, you ain't no match. God's giving you special grace. God has given you a space for grace to repent. God's given you time to get yourself right with Him. This morning, would you please just open the letter? Just open the letter this morning. David and Bathsheba. Whatever commentary you may have of it, that was mine. And it was just a little stay home from battle. A little linger through the window. But you see what he looked at, he then lusted and called. And as a result of that, he kept covering and covering and covering, and then murder was the outcome. Little things can become big things. Don't be naive to think it cannot happen to you. Those who are not engaged in battle are easy prey for the devil. You know, sometimes I'm not belittling anybody's prayer request, but sometimes some of the prayer requests I get and who I'm getting them from hasn't opened a book in a long time, hasn't read the Bible in a long time, from what I can tell. They've said they haven't read the Bible in a long time, haven't been to church in a long time, haven't prayed in a long time. They've confessed to that. Haven't done these things in a long time. And they say, "Bro Justin, please pray for me. The devil is after me." You're no match for the devil. You did all that yourself. And then my thought is this: you pray for me. How about it? Pray for us that are on the firing line. Pray for us that's taking no for an answer to the devil. Why don't you pray for us that align themselves every day so that we may love on others and preach the gospel? Why don't you pray for us this morning? I'll tell you what, you pray for me and I'll pray for you. But it's just something about sometimes prayer requests that really get me. And then you have somebody who's serving God. Somebody that's at the house of God 3 times a week plus. You have somebody who gives and tithes and offerings. You have somebody that's been serving God their whole life, and it's like, man, cancer has hit their house. They've even experienced poverty for a while. It seems like it's one storm after another. I'll tell you who the devil's messing with. The devil's messing with those souls that's been serving God and been sold out to God. Those that haven't been sold out to God, the devil ain't worried about you. He's allowed his little demonic minions to take care of you. The devil's working on the big fish. This morning, David was a big fish. And you see, he's going after the big fish. And so we see that David of Bathsheba, I'm sure he did not think that it would end the way it did, but it ended. He was murdered, Uriah was. And you know that the consequence for that, the sword will never leave his house. All of the other things that took place in the life of David. Did David... Was he able to get to a place of serving God again? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, he was. But whenever I hear the name David from the Bible, I always think of two things. The giant that he killed and the giant that got him. Two things this morning. There is life after failure. There is repentance. There is all of those things. But this little thing became big in David's life. This morning, I want to bring a close to the message. And again, I really wanted to emphasize in this service examples that involve sin. And the Lord willing, this evening, we're going to talk about examples, if I can find it, examples that involve succeeding. Examples that involve sin. But then tonight, examples that involve succeeding. Jesus succeeded. Noah succeeded. Jesus' success involved love. If we're going to succeed, we've got to operate out of love. Noah succeeded, and his success is because he operated out of faith. Faith was involved. So we've got to operate out of faith. And then we're going to look at equal opportunities to start. Deuteronomy 30, verse number 15 through 18, talks about that each and every day there is life and death. And it's up to us what we're going to choose. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, I pray that you'll just use the message this morning to be a help, to be a blessing. I pray that it'll draw someone to a place of accountability and repentance. Maybe there's someone here that's not even saved. Lord, I pray that you'd save them before it is eternally too late. We love you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.